Blog Talk Radio.
Service is doing that as Yahuwah requested. It appears that some people are not doing that reasonable request. Like in the state of Georgia, the headlines a few days ago was, "What are you doing?" Kind of an interesting statement, isn't it? Let's look into that. The statement of the headline says, "What are you doing?" to a Georgia sheriff. He's facing a sexual crime charge for allegedly groping Judge Hastert at a conference, forcing another guest to remove his hands. And this was on May 11th this year. A Georgia sheriff found himself on the opposite side of the law after allegedly fondling a prominent TV judge, Linda Hatchett. According to reports, Hatchett was attending a sheriff's conference in Atlanta in January when Bakley County Sheriff Chris Cody allegedly grabbed a left breast, as the news states. Well, that's kind of a pretty, I should say, drastic thing, especially in public. And it appears that he was charged with just a misdemeanor. On a judge? Esau gets away with quite a bit of things these days. Just imagine the difference between us getting a traffic ticket and Esau getting one. While you get pulled over, they will want a background check on you, check your license plate, check your license, search the car. But Esau maybe get away with a warning. Now, what does this make you think about? Let's go to the book of Ezekiel in the King James Bible. Let's look at chapter 35, reading verses 5 to verse number 9. Verse 5 says, "Because thou had a perpetual hatred and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity sins had an end. 6. Therefore, as I live, says the Yahuwah, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall persuade thee. Sit thou not hatred blood, even blood shall pursue thee. 7. Thus shall I make the Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it him that passeth out and him that returneth. 8. And this will fill his mountains with slain men in my hills and in thy valleys and in thy rivers. They shall fall that are slain with the sword. 9. I will make thee perpetual desolations, and thy city shall not return. And thou shalt know that I am the Yahuwah, thy Yahuwah." That is really something to read a news clip like that and to determine who gets away with what. This is why we have to take close heed to what we're reading this day, where we're around, and knowing that the information that you're getting, as we said, is from one counselor over 1,000. This is why we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching Christianity, loud bumper gums, and bad teaching. We welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's Ministry. We always come to you live, as always, with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible. First and foremost, about Yahuwah's Word and connecting the Bible books, your health and foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. We do this because this is information you have came to seek. And now you know you have to look no further, because you found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of God. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days is Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class. Now, the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. Current time of that class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have this right on the search line, type tribeyada.com. And after clicking it, just under a big line, you're going to see some choices. One would be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Or any other device, you might see menu. But after you click this, again, you'll see choices. Still choose tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, "Give unto the Yahuwah, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength." 8, "Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due to his name, and bring an offering and come into his courts." Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated, that you give according to the Bible scriptures mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you Thus Says Yahuwah alive. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, and radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, we do have a calendar. That calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends, and that includes myself, in tune with the feast days that come to us throughout the year. We have a live program also. This is a feature that you can get to by typing in three words on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. And when you click in it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. Just click the red live button. As soon as you see it appear, this will put you right into our live online broadcast. We even have two email addresses. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com. This is also for biblical subjects or related topics. We even have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first is our live conference room number. This is 319-527-6065. The other number is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number. This is where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. Also, by calling the same number, you can order what we have known as our 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. On another note that we'd like to mention, please do not contact us here via phone, email, or text before broadcast or afterwards. The CEO is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigarette Man, and answering many memos, as most of us have seen. Now, even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, for those of you who have maybe missed the beginning of our program, you can always catch the entire recorded show after 10:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program plan will be repeated after 10:30. To get there, enter three words on the search line, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah. At that point, just choose the program you are late logging into or any previous day that you would like to listen. Now, also during the normal Blood Talk broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on Pell Talk, being listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahuwah, and you'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. And online there to discuss any of the on-the-table topics we had during our program will be Elder Mr. Tibbs along with Seer Israel writing as shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topics or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pell Talk. But we always give a reminder that when given the scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly. Remember that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the words of Yahuwah. And I would think so that we can start to hear these words, I'm all excited myself to get right into it. Let's keep our Bibles open, see what's on the agenda for the words of Yahuwah. Pass our program over now to this year and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Hey, Elder Mr. Taylor, you know, very interesting. So you say that the judge, that it was in Atlanta, TV judge, and the big dignitary, the sheriff, walked in and seen her sitting at the bar, a television judge, and then the sheriff takes his hand and put it on her breast. And all he got was a misdemeanor for doing so. So if that's not a, well, rude awakening, that we keep telling those, I don't care how high you get, I don't care how much you can quote the Greeks and everything else, the way they see you, and that's just the way it is. But you'd rather be somewhere where you would not see no one look like you. And the bottom line is, what we have to do is get the ones that look like you to understand their position. And once we get them to understand their position, you will have no problem building up the ones that look like you. With, you know, the children of Israel that look like you. So the sin judge got a rude awakening that when the big sheriff walked in and just put his hand on her breast, and then another big dignitary had to pull his hand off of her breast, and this is a sitting judge. So what that mean? How high can you get? Even this, go ahead, Elder. You got something to say, Elder? Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say, there's a key word in here to what had happened during this whole thing. And if you pay attention to that key word, it explains a lot in this initial statement. He's facing sex crime charge for allegedly groping Judge Hatchett at a conference. That word allegedly means that it's not even quite proven yet. Allegedly groping.
Right. Allegedly, the other big dignitary didn't have to take his hand and pull his hand off of her breast. Alleged. Now, this judge right here have to make decisions. So now, if she didn't get a rude awakening on that, she's a sitting judge that makes decisions on cases. Now she got a case herself.
It was done more than just once. It was done more than once. That's what's so outstanding. He had placed his hands on Hatchett's breast three times to emphasize the heart of Georgia. That's what his emphasis was. And after the third time, that's when this other gentleman reached out and said, "What are you doing? Snatch his hand off." That was something. That's something to look into, I would think, by most people listening. And allegedly was charged with it.
Well, in the book of Judges, tell you one thing, make no leagues with the other nation. But once we can find our $10, that's the first thing we do, we'll transgress against. And I don't care how high you get, it's a covenant put on them, just like a covenant put on you. But sooner or later, the rude awakening to make no leagues with the other nation. You can work among them and do what you got to do. But when the job is over, educate your peoples, your peoples, the children of Israel. See, once the children of Israel wake up to understand who they really are and their responsibility, that's when the game going to change. So we clear about who's going to kick it off. The six anointed council, the bosses of the true Israelite. But one thing about it, it tells you what not to do, but we do it anyway. So Judge Hatchett right now is compunding. Now, I make decisions as a judge, and here come a chief of police to put his hand on my breast three times, and nobody snapped him and walked him outside and banged his head against his car door and strip him from his duty because everything he did was allegedly. That means he could have did and he could have done not. That's how it works, E-Ray. So we can leave that alone. We're just going to go on stage now because that's pretty interesting there, Elder. So that's good reporting there, Elder. So you never know. Something might come out of this through this lesson. We don't know. But one thing we're telling the C. Roy, it tells you C. Roy, in Zephaniah 2:1, gather yourself together, O nation not desire. You think that's in there just to be in there? No, C. Roy. You haven't made it when everybody around you look like somebody else. You haven't made it. You made it when you educate those that look like you to sit them down and show them by example the walk of a children of Israel, according to the book. That's when you are made it. Got it? Good. Let's run on stage and see who will be on stage for tonight's episode part number 109. We will run around and see about them young lions ready to roar. Roar on take number 109. Find Brother Micaiah. Brother Micaiah, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Brother Micaiah, Yahuwah bid you see Roy.
Yahuwah bless you, see Israel. Oh, see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah there. Brother Micaiah, a lot of bass came out there, though, that, and I like it. That's the way I like it. No doubt about it. So one thing about it, this ministry is a load on the known world, and one thing about it, according to scripture, this ministry will not be stopped. It's going to increase, increase, increase. But you got to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Let's see if we find another young line out of camp number one, Brother Titus Israel, tribe of young God Judah. Brother Titus Israel, Yahuwah bid you see right.
Yahuwah bless you there. See you, Israel. Oh, see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yahuwah, there, young lion. Sound like you got a lot of bass in that voice, and that's the way I like it, too. All right. Turn around Detroit, Michigan. And see, with Princess B on a Babel on stage for the night's episode part number 109. Let's find out where Princess Leora Israel. Campo, Detroit, Michigan. Will you be available to be on stage for the nice episode? Princess Leora Israel. Yahuwah bid you see Royal.
Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Excellent. All right. The stage is set for 109 to get something going on right now. So let's find Brother Micaiah and let him look at that microphone and look at Luke chapter 12, verse 12, and see what we can get out of it. You on the clock, Brother Micaiah Israel, come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you are to say.
Excellent. In that very same hour, the right spirit will teach you what you ought to say. You know, I believe that. Because right now I'm looking at all these memos, but I'm very interested in what the elder brought to the table to let you know, see, what is going to get you to wake up to put more time in your people's than always trying to emulate the other people. What's going to be that trigger you off to look at this thing as going to the children of Israel? Because, you know, he got some things written. Let me touch on some things. Let me see what he got written. He got something written, Brother Titus. He got something written in Exodus 21:16. Can you help me out? What do you got written that we can read, Brother Titus, in Exodus 21:16 that we can read?
Go to the
Exodus chapter 21, verse 16. Exodus chapter 21, verse 16 reads, "And he that stealeth a man and stealeth him, or if he be found in his hand, he should surely be put to death."
He said, if you steal a man, that go for the woman, to whatever, if you steal anybody and they be found in your hand, what is the penalty going to happen according to 21:16 again there, Brother Titus? What is the penalty of it?
Exodus chapter 21, verse 16 reads, "And he that stealeth a man or a woman, and selleth him or her, or if he be found in his hand, he should surely be put to death."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we didn't need all that. We asked for one thing. We didn't need all them thorough breakdowns. But one thing about it on this national, and just read where you see it, that young line, you got over 400,000 plus in the room. You read and we put the dramatics to it. So we found out clear that he says, if you steal a man and this man be found in your hand, he says, what's on you is a death sentence. So you got opportunity to make adjustment on that. So that's what he got written, what we read in Exodus 21:16. So if that's the case, there, young lion, what do Luke says? No, I'll tell you what, let's read the prophecy on that. Let's go all the way and see exactly as time unfolds itself. Let's look way beyond our time on that statement by going to Revelation 13, verse 9 and 10. Let's go all the way over there, young lion. But Titus, let's see what we can get out of Revelation 13, verse 9 and 10. By keeping this in mind, if you steal a man, you surely will be put to death. That's what we read. So let's see when do this kicks off that we can read in Revelation 13, 9 and 10. What do you say?
The book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 9 and 10 reads, "If any man have an ear, let him hear." Verse 10, "He that leadeth to captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints."
Mm-hmm. He said, if you kill with a sword, you must be killed by the sword. So he's saying, so John is on the Isle of Patmos. So he's letting you know that the Milton Spirit told him, and we're not going to read in 1:17 through 19 and 4:1, he was on the Isle of Patmos. And John was getting his revelation to let you know, if you lead a man into captivity, you won't go into captivity. If you kill a man with the sword, you must die by the sword. And another thing got a precept on a must is over in 28 verse 10 there, young line, Brother Titus. What's the precept and what else is a must you do? So there goes the must. So let's get another precept on 28 verse 10 of Isaiah on something that you must do. Come on.
Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10 reads, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little."
So if you ever going to understand your Bible, you must precept your Bible. The sign of learning your Bible is how you learn how to precept your Bible. That's the game changer, see, bro. You got to learn, and you got to know how to precept your Bible by going here a little bit and going there a little bit, because you get all the keys to it. Let's get one more in there, young line, and let's see what he got written in Luke chapter 1. Let's read a little prophecy. We're looking at Luke chapter 1, verse 67 down to verse 72. Let's see what we're going to precept out of this by going and listen to Zechariah do some prophesy. He prophesies. He's going to tell a story about something. Let's see what he says in Luke chapter 1, 67 down to verse 72. What do you say we can read there, young lion? But Titus, come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 67 to 72. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, verse 68, blessed be Yahweh of Israel.
Hold that point. Hold that point. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. So he was filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm about to get a precept out there. Brother Mackay, I need a precept out there. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? By sticking with that word, that Holy Ghost, since that word been put on the table, let's see what the Holy Ghost is, because you know you got a lot of Christians will say, I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. So let's find out what is the definition, the biblical definition of the Holy Ghost. Let's run to Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 53. With that same frame of mind, the Holy Ghost. Because you're going to hear him say, it's testimony time. And then, you know, the mothers get up there and they'll say, well, I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. And if they feel the Holy Ghost, you look at what day they on. They on the wrong day, Sunday. You look down at them, they're wearing pants. Or you look down on them, they got a dress on with no fringes on. But they feel of the Holy Ghost. Find out the definition of the Holy Ghost when you look at the Bible and listen to the speech of the conversation. Let's see what we can read in Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 53. The definition of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on.
The book of Acts chapter 7, verse 51 and 53. 51 reads, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in mind and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do you. Verse 53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it.
So the Holy Ghost is keeping, is so what is the definition of the Holy Ghost according to 53? Brother Mackay, what is the definition of the Holy Ghost?
Verse 53 reads, who have received the law by the disposition of angels.
The law. So when you got the Holy Ghost, that means you keep the law. The law is the first five books. So when you feel of the Holy Ghost, which is a polluted word for the righteous spirit, that means that you keep the law. So how you feel of the Holy Ghost, keeping Sunday, keeping Christianity, Lord God and Jesus, doing Christmas, Easter, and have no fringes on. So how is you feel of the Holy Ghost, see? That's why we have to enlighten our people to understand one thing. The reason why we in the condition we in today, because we feel of the Holy Ghost that been taught by those that is contrary to the word of the Almighty. Now, so what we leave off on, Brother Titus, what do you leave off on, Titus?
I'm still going to have a verse 67. Luke chapter
right,
1, verse 67.
Back. Okay, come on back.
Luke
give me some more of that. Well, yeah, come on back. Give me a little bit more.
Luke chapter 1. Verse 67, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, verse 68, blessed be Yahweh, Yahweh of Israel, who has visited and redeemed his people. Verse 69, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Verse 70, as he spake by the mouth of his righteous deeds, which have been since the world began. Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. 72, to perform the mercy promised unto our Father, and to remember his righteous covenant.
So he said, now, filled with the Holy Ghost, he was prophesying that we need to be saved from our enemies, but he said the only way you're going to be filled, you're going to be saved from your enemies. What he said in verse 72, what's the definition of being saved from your enemies? Where do we start at that we can read in verse 72? So this is where you start at to be on the road of being saved from your enemies. You cannot leave 72 and leave it undone. And what does it say there? Brother Titus, what does 72 say?
Luke chapter 1, verse 72. To perform the mercy promised to our Father and to remember his righteous covenant.
So he said, the only way you will be saved from your enemies, you got to remember the righteous covenant. Is that so you can watch all that one-eyed Satan and continue doing what you're doing in your own mind. But you got to be, the only way you will be saved, you must remember the righteous covenant. What he say? So until you remember the righteous covenant of Brother Micaiah, let's find out what is this righteous covenant he wants you to remember that we can read. Let's go to Exodus 34. Brother Micaiah, look at verse 10, 27, and 28. Let's see what we can read about this righteous covenant that we can read that he wants you to remember. Exodus 34, verse 10, 27, and 28. What does it say?
Book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 10, 27, and 28. The book of Exodus, chapter 34, verse 10 reads, and he said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which you are shall see the work of Yahweh, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with you. Verse 27. And Yahweh said unto Moses, write you these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Verse 28. And he was there with Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drank water. And he wrote upon the table the words of the covenant, the Torah instruction.
So the covenant was made with the children of Israel. So the only ones that the covenant was made with the children of Israel, he said, the only way you will be saved from your enemies, you got to remember the covenant that he made with the children of Israel. See, there go the game changer. So until you understand that you got to drill this into your loved ones, the only way you can come out of the condition you're in, you have to remember the covenant that he made with the children of Israel. So that's your game changer. And we go all through grammar school, high school, colleges, and we never will have that fact. Because if that fact was on the table, Judge Judy would not have been astonished about the big dignitary taking his long Esau hand and put it on her breast, not one time, not two times. So Judge Judy got a rude awakening about the big sheriff putting his hand on her breast because he seen to her exactly the way they have programmed them all to think you have made it because now you are among people that look like somebody else. See? So she got her rude awakening. What is it going to take for you to get your rude awakening? So David understood that, speaking from the minister spirit there of Brother Titus. Brother Micaiah. And let's see what David wrote in 132, verse 12 and 13. What did David write? Matter of fact, let's find out about David. Let's get a precept on David before we can be clear. When we hear what David's saying, it was a report by the apostles in Acts 2, 29 and 30. Something was said about David that we need to know. So if we find out this was David on, then when we hear the writing of David, we can say we got to go with what we hear. Let's see about David we can read in Acts 2, 29 and 30. Brother Micaiah, what's going on with David? You on the clock, come on.
Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 29 and verse 30. Verse 29 reads, man and brother, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his statue is with us unto this day. Verse 30. Therefore, being a seer, and knowing that Yahweh had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Yahweh the son to sit on his throne.
Oh, so David and seer. So David not only was a king of Israel, he was a seer. See, the report of David, that's why I said you got to get a good report, see, right? Now, David is dead and buried in his grave. And they gave a report of David not only being a king of Israel, but David was a seer. So we want to hear what David got to say about anything now, because we found out not only was the second king over all Israel, he also was a seer. That's the report that David was talked about around 1,000 years later. So David is a seer. So what did David write in 132, verse 12 and 13, in the book of Psalms? What did he write that we can read there, young lion, Brother Micaiah?
The book of Psalms, chapter 132, verse 12 and verse 13. Verse 12 reads, if your children will keep my covenant, and my covenant that I should teach them, their children shall also sit upon your throne forever. Verse 13, for Yahweh hath chosen Yadav, he hath desired for his habitation.
So, if the children of Israel, but they got to do one thing. He said, but the children of Israel got to do one thing. Brother Micaiah, what he says the children of Israel got to do for all this thing, all this good stuff to happen for the children of Israel, what they got to do, according to verse 12?
Verse 12 reads, if thy children will keep my covenant and my covenant that I should teach them.
Oh. So there's what they'll see right here. So this is what you're supposed to do when you meet a member of the family of the children of Israel. You have to teach them the covenant. You just can't, you got to not only talk it, you got to walk it. So now once you teach them the covenant, guess what? You can deter all types of evil thoughts in their head, and they will make the mistakes that they're making because you show like Judge Hatchet showed that once she can sit around those that look like somebody else, she thought that she has to say, oh, Mom, Father, I have made it. But she got a rude awakening at a big bigotry meeting when the big sheriff walked in Atlanta and seen her sitting at the bar. He seen her just like they see you if you have no value to them, as a bed wench. Do you know what a bed wench is? Back in the days or in slavery days, you know, they would have the woman that like you do a dog, lay down on the side of the bed. If I need you, I call. But I'm in the bed with my better half. But if I need you, I will tell you, get up on the side of the bed. You know what that was mean by a bed wench? When a bed wench come into your room back in, look up your history, they was to come right into where you was at and lay down like the rug on the side of the bed. Yes, he right. So that's exactly what a big dignitary seen when he seen Judge Judy Hatchett, G. Hatchett, sitting at the bar. All that reminded him was a bed wench. So he walked over there to her and taking his hand and put his hand on her breast, not just one time. Oops, excuse me. Not just two times. Oops, excuse me. Three times. And now he got a misdemeanor for it. But it's allegedly because they see you exactly the way it was prophesied to be of you. Since you don't want to do the covenant, and told you plainly in Judges chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3, make no leagues with the inhabitants of the land. But you will go out your way to make sure you bump into somebody look like somebody else, because they invite you to their establishment, like the WCC, like the Latter-day Saints, like Big Timothy Dolan out there over there in New York. Well, why don't y'all come in and put on a show here, knowing that you got a basement down there with every torture weapon it is? If you get off into their domain and all of a sudden you sit in this seat, then the throat open up for you and you fall into another room, that's when you can get your rude awakening. That what's written in his Bible ain't going to change. He made a covenant with the children of Israel. It's what he said. And what he said in a covenant we can read anyway in the book of Toby, Brother Micaiah, in the fourth chapter, pick it around by verse number 8. What he said that we can read, we're just going to shoot it from the way we heard the elder brought it out there about Judge Hatchett. We just shoot it from there. But what did Yahweh tell you and Toby was reminding his son about something? Let's see what he was reminding his son about that we can read in the 12th chapter. Fourth chapter, pick it around by verse 8. Let's read a little bit and see what he says down to about 12. You on, come on.
Book of Toby, chapter 4, verse 8 down to verse 12. Book of Toby, chapter 4, verse 8 reads, if you had a body, give all accordingly. If you have but a look, be not afraid to give according to that look. Verse 9, for you laid up a good treasure for yourself against the day of necessity. Verse 10, because that all do deliver from death and suffer not to come into darkness. Verse 11, for alms is a good gift unto all that give it in the sight of the Most High Yahweh. Verse 12. Beware of all whores, my son, and chiefly take a wife of the seed of your father, and take not a strange woman to wife, which is not of your father's tribe. For we are the children of the seed, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, in Israel. Remember, my son, that our fathers from the beginning, even that they are married wives of their own kindred, and were blessed in their children, and that these shall inherit the land.
You see that, see, right? So you see, now our fathers is Abraham, Isaac, and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you don't let Christianity and the world of other nations, you're doing too much. So how do you expect to get a blessing from him and he tell you about a covenant? Now, he reminds his son about a covenant, what Abraham, Isaac, and Israel did not do, and they was blessed. And once we do get in the business of Paul, one day soon, we gonna put our hands on Abraham, Isaac, and Israel in the kingdom. So the point we're making, Steve Ray, how do you think that you're going to continue to violate the covenant of Yahuwah and look for success without you following the covenant that he got written? How you gonna put it off? It won't be temporarily. So until you understand the children of Israel, I don't care how high a position you get, like the judge. Now she got to stand on her bench with her black robe on and give out sentence, knowing the fact that she was told and shown that it's nothing that they can do, you can do, that they will respect you on, even if you're a judge. Now, she got a rude awakening, didn't she? Yes, she did. But that's why she had to be visited by the bosses of a true Israelite and say, we don't care how high a position you get. If they eyesight you what they have programmed you be, a Christianity, B-A-N. That's the way they see you, as a Christianity, B-A-N, a band. That would mean band. But you take them B-A-Ns and break it down and take them periods out of it, and you know exactly what it is. So once they be telling you, Steve, right here, you have to make a decision according to what the Bible is saying. And you have to lead by example. You got it good. All right, let's go back to the stage and see if we find, because a lioness came on the stage. One of the mothers out of Kevron, Mother Dear of Israel. And she want to roar something too. She said, see, let me roar something. I want to roar a little bit on the network. All right, let's see if we find Mother Dear of Israel. She done came on stage on take number 109, so we meet the mothers out of Camp 1, Mother D.F. Israel, tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahqua bid you that see Royal.
Yahqua bless you, Seer Israel of C. Royal. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, Mother D.F. Israel, so Yahqua is telling the children of the book, the children of Israel, the peoples of Yahqua, if you want to come out of what you own, then keep my covenant. Now, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 7 and 8, can you tell me what that says we can read? In the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 7 and 8, and then we'll throw 12 in, we throw 12 in and we off and running. Hebrews, chapter 8. 7, 8, and 12. Mother D of Israel, come on.
Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7, verse 8, and verse 12, verse 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Verse 8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, says Yahuwah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their sins will I remember no more.
He says, once the house, which means family or nation of Israel, understand you got a covenant, and once you look at this covenant and understand this covenant is your roadmap for Yahuwah to intervene. And you got to examine yourself. Are you keeping the covenant that he placed down? Abraham, Isaac, and Israel had no problem to receive the blessing. And what it says in Hebrews, while we're already there, in 7 verse 7. What can we read in 7 verse 7 there, mother? Hebrews 7 verse 7. What can we read?
Hebrews chapter 7 verse 7. And with all contradiction, the less is blessed or the better.
The less is blessed or the better. You are the less, but you are the blessed, and you are the better. But you don't know that. You know why? Because you don't know who you are. You don't know that David made a foul statement in 128 verse 6, that mother day of Israel. He says something that we can read in Psalms 128 verse 6. What he said that we can read?
Psalms 128 verse 6. Yea, thou shalt see your children, children, and peace upon Israel.
He said, yea. He said, you're going to see your children, and peace be upon who?
Israel.
The children of Israel. So he tells you, he say, look, you got plenty, but you just don't talk right. You don't do what I can read out of the covenant that's passed down. Now look what now Paul visits Northern Kingdom. That's over there in Galatia. And he looked in eyeball to eyeball, and he said something to them that we can read in 6 verse 16. What he said that we can read in 6:16? Galatians 6:16.
Okay, I'm trying to get that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy and upon Israel of Yahuwah.
Israel of Yahuwah. The children of Israel is of Yahuwah. You see how plain it is. So now if you're able to teach your loved ones, sacrifice yourself to teach those that you come in contact with. Peace and blessing is upon the children of Israel of Yahuwah. That's where you are. When the last time you told somebody look like you, do you know you're children of Israel of Yahuwah? They'll look at you and ask you a question. Did you just curse me out? See that? That's how much work you got to do. They won't know that you just cursed me out by you telling them exactly what Galatians is saying. They'll say, you just got through cursing me out. And that's where we fell from, see? And that's why the judge got the rude awakening. The old judge, now she's sitting there thinking right now. I can see her now. I'm a high judge, and here the sheriff come in here, walk in where I was at, and just take his hand, don't he? Just take his hand and put it on my breast. Take it off and put it on again. Then take it off and put it on again. He has to be restrained. And then he got charged with a misdemeanor, allegedly done it. Now, this is a judge sitting there with that on her mind. To let you know, see right here, you got a job to do in Yahuwah. That's why I tell you, gather yourself together, old nation, not desire. Because in their eyes, you'll never get no bigger than where your mindset at. Because they know your mind ain't right. You come in contact with us, and without a work site, then we know your mind ain't right. Making money, doing your work site, fine. Got no choice. But after that's over with, That's the last time you're going to see any other nations until it's time to go back to the job site. You'll learn it up the road. All right, let's run around Camp Folk, Detroit, Michigan, see what Leora got to put on the table out of Romans chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3. Hey, Camp Folk, Detroit, Michigan, what is Romans that we can read saying 12, 1, 2, and 3? What is it that we can read during the clock come out?
Romans 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. And it reads,
mm-hmm.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of Yahweh. Verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to Yahweh has dealt in every man the measure of faith.
Mm-hmm. What is in verse 2 again?
Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh.
You mean you got to prove what's perfect? That's acceptable to Yahweh? How you going to, how can a man prove what's, is any man in writing that can do such a thing? Prove what's perfect? Is it anywhere written that a man can do this? Let's run to Genesis chapter 6 there, Camp 4. Let's see if any man can prove what is perfect to the Almighty Yahweh. Let's run to Genesis chapter 6. And Brother Titus had me the book of Jasher. And let's see if we get a report on that in 5:13 and 14 out of the book of Jasher. Had that waiting on me, Brother Titus. Let's see if you can prove if anybody that can a man be perfect. Let's see if any man on record can be perfect that we can read by going to Genesis chapter 6 there, Camp 4. And let's find out. Is anywhere in writing about any man being perfect in the book of Genesis, chapter 6? Let's pick it up around about let's see, can we pick it up around about verse number 8 and verse number 9? Let's see what we can read. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 8 and 9, Camp Folk, Detroit, Michigan, find out if any man is perfect. Then we can read. Come on.
Genesis 6, verse 8 and 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in this generation. And Noah walked with Yahweh.
Yeah. Noah was what? What was Noah again? He was what? Detroit?
Noah was perfect and walked with Yahweh.
So to walk with Yahweh, you got to be what again?
Perfect.
Mm. Let's run back to the first chapter and see where he get that from. And Genesis chapter, let's find out where he get that from being perfect. I didn't know no man could be perfect. Let's find out where did that come from that we can read about being perfect. I want to look at somebody that we can read there. I want to read about somebody in the book of Genesis 5. See where that come from. Did anybody else pull it off in Genesis 5:24? Let's see what Genesis 5:24 say that we can read.
Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with Yahweh, and he was not, for Yahweh took him.
But to walk with Yahweh, you got to be what? You got to be what in 540 of Matthew's, princess? What you got to do to walk with Yahweh? How you got to walk with? I mean, we got to know these things, so you got to be able to tell your offspring. Nephews, sons, daughters, that Noah and Enoch walk with Yahweh, and the only way you're going to walk with Yahweh, you got to be a 548 of Matthew. What did it say?
Matthew 5:48. And ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
So, he said, all the way you're going to walk with Yahweh, you got to be perfect. And all the way you'll be perfect, Psalm 19:7. And what? So he said, now, okay, if you want to walk with Yahweh, if you're going to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, you have to be perfect. And perfect is plain out of the mouth of the seer David and King. Psalm 19:7, what you got to do? The chart, bring it.
Psalm 19:7, the law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise and simple.
That's the bottom line. So if you're going to walk with Yahweh, if you're going to be in the kingdom of Yahweh, you have to be perfect. And how you be perfect? Just keep the law. That's all you got to do is keep the law. First five books is the law. That's all you got to do is keep the law. First five books. Now, young man, Brother Titus, let's find out exactly that book of Jasher was a report made about somebody, and we're going to find out a little bit more about this being perfect. What do that mean by adding a little bit more to it? How else you be perfect that we can read by going to 5:13-14?
All right, the book of Jasher, chapter 5, verse 13 and 14 reads, the book of Jasher, chapter 5, verse 13. And Noah was a just man. He was perfect in his generation. And Yahweh chose him to rise up, to raise up seed from his seed upon the face of the earth. Verse 14, and Yahweh said unto Noah, take you a wife, and beget children, for I have seen you righteous before me in this generation.
Ain't that something? So the report, Jasper making a report about, see, a lot of people, I don't want to read the book of Enoch, I want to read the, because you can't connect the books. That's the reason why you don't read it. See, if you can't connect the books, sure, you will hear some stories It's like going to a store. Do you get everything in the store that you didn't come in there for because you see it? Now you get what you need. You got to know how to go into all the books and get what you need out the books. What you need out the books that'll connect with the regular books that you have, 66 books, you can have tied in. So there's a deal. Here's a report of Noah being perfect, a just man, and righteous. And Yahweh seen he was righteous. So being righteous, you got to be just and perfect. Now look at that in there. So being righteous, you got to be just and perfect. Now I just want to see what David said about that, Brother Titus. And 128 of Psalms, 4 down to verse 6. See, all you got to do, you get your lesson from hearing the tenor of a conversation. And once you understand this thing, you got to be lined up with Yahweh, and he'll give you this on the very same hour. Then you got to take just as much notes as anybody else taking notes. Because we find out now how you be perfect. First of all, you got to be a just man, and you got to be righteous. See? See it? So there you go right there. How can I be perfect? First, you got to be just, and you got to be righteous. So David jumped up in there in 128, 124 down to verse 6 and said what? What did he say that we can read?
Psalms chapter 128, verse 1, 2, verse 4, and verse 6. Psalms chapter 128, verse 1 reads, "Blessed is everyone that fears Yahweh, that walks in his ways." Verse 2, "For you shall eat the labor of your head. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you." Verse 4 and verse 6, "Behold, that doth should a man be blessed that feareth Yahweh." Verse 5 reads, "For Yahweh shall bless you out of Zion, and you shall see that Yahweh, that you shall see the good of Yahdah Judah all the days of your life." Verse 6, "Yea, should you see your children's children, and peace upon Israel."
And what on Israel again?
Peace.
Peace on Israel, huh? That's excellent. So we got to get, but what about the other, what do the other world, the world thinks about this, that statement about the righteousness? What do the other nations think about that we can read? Let's see what the other nations think. See, they're not going to tell you, but the other nations will tell you exactly how, what they really own. It's up to you to understand the other nations. They talk among themselves. And they make profound statements. Let's see what the other nation says in Exodus 9:27. We're going to find what the other nation says about themselves. But they're not going to tell you that. But look how they talk when you no way around. But Yahweh be peeping in on them and put down a statement. Let's see how they talk. Exodus 9:27. Brother Titus, how do they talk? Come on.
The book of Exodus, chapter 9, verse 27 reads, "And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I am sinned this time. Yahweh is righteous, and I and my people are wicked."
See, the world knows that they wicked. Because the world don't keep the covenant, you know. So they already know they wicked, but they ain't going to tell you they wicked. They going to tell you, come where we at. Knowing that they wicked. They'll never tell you that they know they wicked, but they'll never tell you that. And see, the judge, Hackett, found out that what she thought, that because she sitting in the black robe, that they look at her as a uppity. No. You look just like all the rest of them in their mindset. So she got a rude awakening, and she got to deal with that. But maybe she'll get in contact with voices of the true Israelite and say, you know, I think I need to send some arms that way for that land, school, and banquet hall, then get on out there with them young lions and lay some more beans and corn down. You see what's going on here? Because he made it plain before us to understand one thing in the book of Jeremiah 40, verse 4. My title, what did he say that we can read in 40, verse 4?
We go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 40, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 40, verse 4, read. And now behold, I loose you this day from the chain which were upon your head. If it seems good unto you to come with me unto Babylon, come, and I will look well with you. But if it seems ill unto you to come with me unto Babylon, forbear, behold, all the lands before you, where this seem it good and convenient for you to go hither go.
Mm-hmm. He told Jeremiah, look here, Jeremiah, the land is before you. It's up to you what you want to do. It's up to you. The land's before you. And the same thing he showed that the six anointed camp, listen, the land's before you. He said, it's up to you to step to the plate because the land before you. So, and it's up to you. The land is before you. You can continue to wait on that one out Satan telling you on what you got to do. It's time to roll your sleeves up. Matter of fact, let me pull a rabbit out of here. It's time to understand what the Bible says in Micah chapter 4, verse 10. What is it? We're gonna pull a rabbit out of that. What it says we can read in Micah chapter 4, verse 10. What can we read?
The book of Micah, chapter 4, verse 10 reads, be in pain, labor to bring forth, O daughter Zion, like a woman in travail. But now to be...
He said, be in pain in doing Yahuwah's business. Be in pain. He said, look here, this thing is not going to be a cakewalk. He letting you know what they went through, you're going to have to go through. He said, you got to be in pain and labor. And use it as a woman going to travail, going through them pains. The same thing we're going to have to see right. We're going to have to be in pain to take care of this man's business. We're
going
to have to lands before us. We got to lay our corn and lay our beans down and get it in the ground. The time is on us to make our move. Let's run to Psalm 127, 1 and 2. What does it say? Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2.
We go to Psalm 127, 1 and 2, Psalms 127. Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2. Except Yahweh builds a family, a nation, they labor in vain that build it. Except Yahweh keeps the city, and watch it, wake it, but in vain. Verse 2.
He said, you got to put Yahweh in what you're doing. And Yahweh is told to say, okay, you got to be in labor, you got to be in pain to get this job done. You're getting this thing done. Luke chapter 17, verse 10 says what? What can we read out of Luke 17, verse 10?
We go to the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 10. The book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 10. So likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which I commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.
He said, otherwise, he said, you still got to always say, whatever you do in Yahweh, I'm still on profitable service. You got to remember one thing, once you're a children of Israel, that is your duty to get in where you fit in at. And never feel no higher than that. Get in where you fit in it, because that's your reasonable But you got to be clear that you need to know one thing. And I got to pull another rabbit out of the hat. Let's run. And let's take a look. I just pull one more rabbit out the hat behind that one. He says, but I'm struggling there, young lion. I'm struggling with a statement that'll help tie that in, but we got to be clear on what we're doing. But I'm kind of stuck. So you got anything you want to, that would tie into what we just got through reading? Is this thing? I tell you what, I know 39, verse 5, and just get warmed up. But that ain't what I need. 39, verse 5 of Psalms. Let's look at our Psalms 39, verse 5. And it might come to me, unless one of them young lions comes to you. I think this is a verse that you need in this case. But right now, let's take a look at 39, verse 5 to get warmed up. Brother Titus, you're on the clock. Come on.
You go to Psalms chapter 39, verse 5. Read Psalms 39, verse 5. Behold, you have made my day as a hand's breadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Truly, every man at his best state is altogether vanity.
He's even a man at his best state, best years, best age, in Yahuwah's eyes, a number of vanity. See, once we understand that we got to get in where we fit in at, and understand that your best estate is vanity in the eyes of Yahuwah. See? So it's vanity in the eyes of Yahuwah. But I had another statement out, and it got past me, as a matter of fact. You know, it was whispering in my ear to say it, but now I messed around and got on something and it got away from me, so I'm going to leave it like it is. But I'm going to go and bring Brother Mackay back in, and I want to talk about Paul for a minute. That statement, if he wants me to have it, he'll come back to me. And if he comes back to me, young lion, Mackay, I'm going to throw it on the table. But I want to talk about Paul for a minute. I want to find out what Paul says about how he conducts himself, because a lot of times we think that Yahuwah is not working with us, and he might be more than working with you. Let's talk about Shorty Paul. Let's talk about him for a minute. And Brother Mackay in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 10. Let's see Paul talks about his own self and what do he say. But we're on the same token. We're going to find out in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse number 7, but what did Yahuwah say? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10:10. You on the clock. Come on.
Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, for his letter, they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible.
You see that? He said his statues, he looked like a little frail, little shout man. But when he wrote something on that paper, and when it come out of his throat, he was like a great big old man. Oh, Paul. See that? So that's for those that, you know, short in stature. All you got to do is be filled with the word of Yahuwah, and Yahuwah take them there. So it's a report on Paul. His report again. Read Paul. What about Paul again?
The book of 2 Corinthians, 10. Chapter 10, verse 10. Verse 10 reads, for his letters, say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible.
He has a contemptible speech. I mean, he'll growl at you, man. You be looking straight ahead and don't see nobody. He weighed out by your knees. But he'll tear your knee off. That's what Paul was. See that is right there? So Paul says something in 3 verse 7 of Romans. What did Paul say? But now, before you read 3:7, what did Yahuwah say, how he operates? Let's see how he say he operates in 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. Brother Micaiah, how do we operate that we can read?
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, But Yahweh said unto Samuel, Look not on his counsel, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For Yahweh seeth not as man seeth. For man looks on the outward appearance, but Yahweh looketh on the mind.
You see that? See how Yahweh wrote? See, David had seven brothers, six brothers, seven brothers, big burly. You look up in the sky and you see him way up in air. But that ain't how Yahweh wrote. That ain't how Yahweh wrote. Yahweh put that spirit on you, and Paul said his letters was weighty. Paul write you something, and his boss was contemptible. He'll cut you out in a minute. That's how Paul wrote. Because he know he was backed up by Yahweh. And that's the key. So he told his old piece of Romans something in the third chapter. So he's talking to his old piece of Romans. Let's see what he told the piece of Romans. Let's find out who the piece of Romans is real quick. Read that, Brother Titus. Who is these Romans in the 10th chapter? Verse number 1 and 2. Who is these Romans? He get ready to tell something too. In Romans 10:1-2, Brother Titus, who is these Romans?
The book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 1 and verse 2. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my mind desire and prayer to Yahweh for Israel is that they might be saved. Verse 2. For I bear them record that they have the zeal of Yahweh, but not according to knowledge.
So he said, the 10 northern kingdoms of Israel, they got a zeal for some Yahweh. They'll butt you. But not according to knowledge. They always got something to say, but not according to knowledge. See? So Paul grabbed a hold to these old northern kingdoms. And 3 verse 7, Brother Micaiah, he looked them eyeball to eyeball and he said something to them. Let's read one verse at a time. Look what he said in verse 7 to them. Romans 3:7, what did he say?
The book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, For if the truth of Yahweh had more abound through my life with his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner?
You know what he's saying? He said, look here. He said, I traveled everywhere with this thing. He said, why y'all keep on calling me a sinner? He said, I'm the one came where the other followers did not come. And they came half-stepping. I came as a sharp, growly man and everywhere. So why is y'all started calling me a sinner? And I'm the one bringing you the knockout blow. That's what the man saying. That's how the man talking. He said, why y'all look at me like this? I'm bringing you the knockout blow. See, this is how he talk. Verse 8.
Verse 8. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just.
So you see, this guy, Paul, he didn't care where he was at. When he was on a mission for Yahweh, he don't care how burly they was up in the air or how wide they was. He told them a big belly full of dust says Yahweh, and he had up a contemptible voice. And that's the game changer, see, right? So remember, Yahweh don't look at your stature. Yahweh look at exactly how you handle his word. When the heat is on, that's how he looks. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter. Now, Paul, I'm going to show you something. So he was over there talking with these northern kingdom. Now, let's examine what Paul was doing. Now, you over there, Corinth, Brother Micaiah, we're going to examine what this man's saying. Now, Now, you know how he speaks. You know he's a little sharp man, but his voice is contemptible. He gonna tell you, he gonna walk in on some fellas, and let's see exactly how he handled himself by going to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll pick up verse 9. Let's check him out there, Brother Makai. You on the clock? Come on.
The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, picking up at verse 9. Verse 9 reads, "And when I was present with you, and once, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia, supplied. And in all things, I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself."
You see what I'm saying? He said, "Even when I came, now I'm not burdened to you. I'm a pad for what I'm here for." Give me one next verse of time. I want to see what verse that I'm gonna really work with. Next verse.
Verse 10.
10.
"As the truth of Yahweh the Son is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia."
Ain't that something? You hear that man just say it? He said, "Because I'm over here in the region of Achaia, whatever you say, over there in one of them regions." He said, "I'm gonna tell you something. Ain't nothing gonna stop me from boasting." He said, "Ain't nothing gonna stop me from boasting." That's what a man said. "I ain't gotta be where I got 20 of me and half of you." No, it's the other way around. It's 20 of you and one me. But ain't nothing gonna stop me from boasting. That's what a man just said. What he said next, what the next verse he said.
Verse 11, "Wherefore, because I love you not, Yahweh knoweth." Verse 12, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." Verse 13.
You hear that man say it? That big talk in verse 12. He said, "Y'all don't sit around and spread like a Green Bay tree here. Is y'all got all kind of think y'all really got it going on here? Is I come to cut that occasion off? Now that I come to do, is y'all over here talking smack, laying back, jacking your slacks over here? Is I come to cut that occasion off that you got?" That's what Paul said. Now you know that's with a contemptible voice. He said, "I'm over here to cut off all these servants y'all got running around and waiting on y'all. Now, I'm ready to cut that off so you can be exactly as I am." See, Paul recognized something, and that's the point we're saying. Once you got them the names, it comes a responsibility. When you see them in a position where the point they shucking and jiving, and your position is to correct that, you got to do it. That's what Paul's saying right here. Read that verse again, then go to the next one.
Okay. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off a cage from them which desire a cage, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we."
You hear that man say? He said, "Look here." So Paul talking. He said, "I'm gonna cut off all this, you know, all this, you know, this occasion y'all got over here. Come and cut it off. You gotta be like what I'm on." That was Paul telling them. What's the next verse he say?
Verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforms themselves into the apostle of Yahweh the Son."
He said they false. He said they false. These false apostles. You sit like y'all, you skinning and grinning like you own something. He said, No, I'll peep you. Y'all false. Y'all out of order everywhere. That's what Paul just called them. Over there in Corinth. Paul said y'all are false apostles. He said, you got Satan, the devil, all over you. That's what Paul said. God, dog, Paul, you talking that talk, and you remind me of a movie called Superfly when old Scatter grabbed old Superfly's buddy. He said, man, this guy talked you that talk, and he ain't got no pistol with him. I should shoot this B.A.N. right in his mouth. See? That's how he was talking. So Paul was saying, look here, I come to peep y'all. Y'all ain't on nothing. Y'all about Satan the devil. See that? Because Paul know he had the backings of Yahweh. He was created. And that same thing we try to tell him this world. Listen, we not scared of y'all. WCC, World Council of Churches, Latter-day Saints, Big Timothy Dolan out of New York, Catholic Church. We not scared of y'all. So we clear that Yahweh wasn't with this ministry. You have been had your way. But you ain't going to have your way because this job is going to be taken care of. And when I get these brothers and these sisters and these elders all in understand the word of Yahweh is for real, then Yahweh is going to show us the next move. But we're going to holler in that microphone every chance we get.
Yahweh.
What's the next verse say? What's the next verse say?
Verse 14. Ain't no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Go ahead.
Verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
He said, and no marvel, because the end going to be according to their works. And you know the work of Yahweh is keeping the covenant, the Torah instruction. The work of Satan is contrary to that. So you can tell what apostle is working and what he on. If you own, you on the Sabbath day, you on some dust says Yahweh, and you got them fringes on. But if you're contrary to that, then you apostle of Satan the devil. That's once you understand the truth of the matter. Once you understand that you must wear the fringes by being a member of the children of Israel. Now you understand that your clock started ticking. Because he said about these fringes, Mahdi of Israel, he made a profound statement in the 15th chapter, verse 37, and tell you why you wear fringes, what do they represent by you having them on, Mahdi of Israel. He made it plain. The 15th chapter 37 through 40 of Numbers. What do you say about these fringes that we can read?
Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 to 40. Verse 37. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, 38, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make some fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generation, and they put upon the fringes of the borders a ribbon of blue. 39. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of Yahweh and do them, and that you seek not after your own mind and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring. Verse 40, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your Yahweh.
So the reason why you wear fringes is reminding you of thus says Yahweh and what not to do and what to do. The fringes would be, or it'll remind you. That what the fringes to do, because Yahweh made it plain on Mahdi of Israel in Surah 33, verse 13 and 14. He made it plain. What he said we can read, Mahdi of Israel in Surah 33? verse 13 and 14. Let's see what he said that we can read in Sirach 33, 13 and 14, and Camp 4, Detroit, Michigan Avenue, Deuteronomy chapter 11, 26 down to verse number 28. Deuteronomy 11, 26 down to verse 38. Detroit, Michigan had that waiting on me. Sirach 33, 13 and 14, what can we read, Maldia of Israel?
Sirach chapter 33, verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, as the clay is in the potter's hand to fashion it at his pleasure, so man is in the hand of him that made him to render to them as like him best. Verse 14, good is set against evil and life against death. So is the Yahweh against the sinner, and the sinner against the Yahweh.
Oh yeah, I can't get away. What did you say in 33:13? What did you just got through saying, Mo? The up Israel. What you just got through saying?
Sirach chapter 33, verse 13. As the clay is in the potter's hand to fashion it at his pleasure, so man is in the hand of him that made him to render to them as like him best.
Who's this man that we can read is in the pot of hand that we can read and fashion by clay. Who's this man that we can read? Is it talking about all mans on the face of the earth? Who's this man, Mother Dear of Israel? Let's see if we find out what's going on in Jeremiah by precept of your Bible. Turn to Jeremiah 18, verse 1, and skip down to verse number 5 and 6. Let's find out what man is he talking about. He got this man in his hand and all this good stuff. Who's this man is in his hand like the potter's clay and all that good stuff? Who can we read out of the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1, 5, and 6? Mother D of Israel, who can we read? Come on.
Jeremiah 18, verses 1 and verse 5 and 6, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from Yahweh saying, verse 5. Then the word of Yahweh came to me saying, verse 6. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, says Yahweh? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.
Hey, that's a, you mean that Bible told that? Yeah, when you precept your Bible. Yeah, it tell you that. Yes, it would tell you that, exactly what man you're talking about, only when you precept your Bible. That's why I told you in the 28th verse 10, you must precept your Bible. Sure, it'll tell you all these things if you precept your Bible. So if you don't precept your Bible, then you gotta insert things in, shoot in a loophole. So now, but when you precept your Bible, it tells you some good stuff that we can read. That's only when you precept your Bible. Back to Brother Micaiah. Come on back to Brother Micaiah. So it's just like we're saying, if you precept your Bible, it tells the story. But as long as you read this Bible as a novel, you read it and put your spin on it, you will always keep your loved ones that's after you confused. But when you precept your Bible to bring them out of the condition of the mindset they in, just like the mindset that the big judge was in, Judge Hatchett, G. Hatchett, she thought by being a judge that the other nation look at her by being a judge. So the big police officer Big Captain looked at her, you just like all the rest of them. Went over and put his hand on her breast one time. Feel pretty good. Put his hand on her breast again the second time. Feel pretty good. Put his hand on her breast the third time. And then another big dignitary had to pull his hand off her breast. And he allegedly charged with the misdemeanor. You see that? See, you always think you're going to make it. You ain't made it until you got the word of Yahuwah down pat. And not only be a hearer of the word, being a doer of the word. See? Keep that in your mind. Now, back to the young lion, Brother Makai. What you leave off on, Brother Makai? Let's get some more. Because Paul, he got the northern kingdom all hemmed up. He's talking good to them. Because they were sitting around jacking their slacks. So Paul came there to rebuke them and correct them. But he not only came to rebuke them and correct them, he also came to give them his resume. Listen to this. Come on.
Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 16. 16 reads, I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Verse 17.
Hold on, Brother McKay. Give me one verse of time, because I got to get in there every now and then. God, you're the boss. You know, Paul is nowhere. He's nowhere near the southern kingdom. He way over there in Corinth, where the northern kingdom is scattered over there. Yagdah, Judah is scattered over there. And he talking like he at home around the 12 apostles, with Matthias being 12, replacing Judas. This man, Paul, looks sharp, man. He said, I look weak, but I'm contemptible with this word of Yahuwah. He hemming up that big dignitary temple over there right now. He hemming them up because they're out of order. And that's what we're trying to tell you, six anointed camps. You got to recognize when somebody out of order, but from the pages of the book. But you got to lead by example. Now, Paul can tell you something about himself to them that's over there having an occasion, telling them, he said, I come here to cut off the occasion. That's what he said early in the verse. Now he's still looking at them eyeball to eyeball. He's probably on a step ladder looking at them eyeball to eyeball because Paul was up under the knees of them burly men. But he'll go get him a ladder in a minute and get all in your drill. Bring some more. Come on.
Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 17 reads, that which I speak it not after Yahuwah, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of both.
He said, I'm telling you something about me. He said, I'm going to put Yahuwah on hold, but since y'all got all this occasion going on right there, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to speak to you straight up. Huh? I'm just going to look at y'all straight up and speak to y'all straight up. So we're going to put Yahuwah to the side, and I just want to read you my resume, which Yahuwah gave to me. So you think you got a resume, and you over here boasting over in current? I'm going to talk to y'all concerning me by boasting. So every now and then, you got to do a little boasting that you know that this ministry is not a Detroit, Michigan. It's not a verse number 6 of 1 Timothy. Help me out. Detroit, Michigan. Camp 3. Camp 4. Camp 3. Hold on, man. Let me get a statement out there out of Camp 3. Let me see if Camp 3 taking notes in. Sister V. Israel, tribe of Yagdah, Judah, Camp 3 around Kankakee area. Yahuwah be with you, I see you, right? Camp 3, around Kankakee area. Yahuwah be with you, I see you, right? What's wrong with your microphone there, Camp 3? around Kankakee area. How about get up another microphone and address this national audience with a Yahuwah be with you, and I can say Yahuwah bless you. I'll give you a microphone chance to get it all warm up, get it tested out, and we'll come back with you shortly. All right, now, Camp 4. Now, whatever verse we just had, bring that verse out there, Camp 4. You on the clock, come on. We gonna cut off. We gonna mute Camp 3. Oh, yeah. You gonna mute Camp 3. Camp 3 info. What's up? Well, Sia, don't forget this is my radio station, not yours. Oh, I ain't forgot nothing. All right, so where we leave off on, Brother McCoy, just going back to where we was at then. We thought we can bring in Camp 3 and Camp 4, but I guess the Latter-day Saints says they to remind me of who radio station this is. All right, where we left off on? Back to Paul again.
Hey, going back to Paul. Going back to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 16. Chapter 11, picking a bit back up at verse 18. 18 reads, Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also.
Crazy, you hear Paul saying? It's supposed to look at you, y'all want to talk about the flesh? Okay, I'll tell you what I do. I feel like being doing a little boasting about, you know, I feel like talking some smack too. So Paul talks some smack. So Paul said, I tell you what, I get in the flesh with you. That's what Paul just saying. He made a long way from home. He said, since y'all over here in the flesh, I tell you what I do. I get in the flesh with you. What did he say next?
Says verse 19. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing you yourselves are wise.
Go ahead.
Okay. Verse 20. For you suffer. If a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face.
Go ahead.
21. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also.
Ain't that something? You hear, brother? He getting warmed up. What did he say next? Let me know the verse.
Okay. 22. Are they Israelite? So am I. Are they Israelite? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I.
But wait a minute. Well, he talking to the Corinthians. Yeah, see, right? That's exactly who they are, Israelites. See, all your life you've been talking, we talk about the Corinthians, you talking about the white man and white woman. No, Paul just busted out. No, Paul said, the Corinthians is Israelites, and so am I.
That's right.
They is what they say right here. They go your Corinthians. The Corinthians is over there. The one he was over there in Corinth, he was looking for the Israelites that's in Corinth. So when you're reading the book of the Corinthians, you're talking about Paul talking to the Israelites that's over there in Corinth. So now with that mindset, you go read the Corinthians all the way different with that mindset. Now, Mother Dip, Israel, read me 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 3 and 4. Let's get a second witness. So, when you jump down in this Bible, 6 and on it counts. I understand Paul just bust out the white man and the white woman, Esau and his five sons, and other nations. the Corinthians books, when Paul was there, he was not looking for white man, white woman. He was looking for the children of Israel from the northern kingdoms over there. And he just got through telling them, y'all out of order. And are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed? So am I. So it got nothing to do with Paul over there teaching other nations. Paul didn't do nothing different from Yahweh's Son. See it? See how you find out something on the way to find out something. So when you read the 10th chapter, verse 3 and 4, look what said, Modi, F, Israel, bring it out, come on.
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, verse 4, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Yahweh the Son.
So he's saying, but what he called them in verse number 1 and 2, what he called them Corinthians in verse 1 and 2, he looked an eyeball to eyeball it, same Corinthians, what he called them in verse 1 and 2?
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, verse 2, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Uh-huh. And what he said to them in verse number 11?
First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for example, and they are written for our admonition.
Mm-hmm. And what? Go ahead.
Upon whom the ends of the world are come.
And what he called his brethren in the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2. Of the same, but what he called his brethren, see, this is how you paint the picture. Called his brethren in the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Verse 2. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto those dumb idols, even as ye were led.
So what he called his brethrens that he found over there in Corinth, what he called them Corinthians, what he called them? His who? What he called them? His who? In verse 1, what he called them in verse 1, 10:1? What he called them in 10:1?
1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1.
Yeah, verse 1. What do you call them?
Moreover, brethren.
So he called them what? What did he call them?
Brothers.
What did he call
brothers.
Them? And what did he call his brothers and brethren in 12, verse 2? What did he call his brethren in 12, 2?
You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto those dumb idols, even as ye were led.
Oh, so he called his brethren of the Corinthians Gentiles. So he's still talking with them, Brother Micaiah. And what did he say again? Are they who? How we paint the picture, what did Paul, he started talking with them. He's still correcting them and talking with them. And we go on back to the 11th chapter and see exactly what he's saying to them, eyeball to eyeball. What is he saying that we can read?
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 22. 22 reads, are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I.
Ain't that something? You see, now, if you six anointed caps can't paint that picture, then shame on you. Well, you jump down in these books of Corinthians and all these books, and then you bring in all type of things, read in Romans, same thing. If you can't soundly see that Paul was talking and was over there trying to get them back in order, was northern kingdom of the children of Israel up under every name like we up under the names we up under now. And that's why we got to get us right. And that's the same thing Paul was doing. So if you can't paint the picture from that point on, then shame on you. What's the next verse say?
23. Are they ministers of Yahweh the Son? Speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often.
You see the man say it? Now, you see, say, so Paul, now he's giving him his resume. He said, are they ministers of Yahweh? So am I. But we know clearly who Yahweh say he came for, Bud Titus in 15:24. He made it plain in Matthew 15:24, who he said he's the same thing as this man is. 15:24, Matthew's bring it.
The book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 24 reads, but he answered and said, I am not sent unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
And what he says in 24:14 of Acts, and what he says that we can read?
We go to Acts, chapter 24, verse 14 reads, but this I confess unto you, that after the way which they are called heresy, to worship I, Yahweh, my Father, believing all things which are written in the law and the seed.
You see that? So Paul ain't changed and came and done nothing different than nobody else of this bloodline. Paul did the same thing that the bloodline did. His mission was to go find the lost sheep of the family of Israel that was scattered and then set them in order. But since he was there, he said, I'll tell you what, since y'all over there boasting about occasion, I'm going to tell off y'all the occasion. I'm going to tell you about my resume. He said, I'm going to tell you about my resume. So now you're hearing about my resume, how I roll. Now, can y'all stand up to my resume? Let's read some more of his resume there. Brother Micaiah, he laying his resume ready for from the all of Northern Kingdom that's in Corinth. Come on.
The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 24 reads, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one.
Go ahead.
25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. 26. In journey, often, in perils of war, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brothers.
You say, it's not only that. It's not only that. To give his resume, and he said, I was even around false brothers. You see what he's saying? Mm-hmm. So Paul, let you know, look at it. If anybody can boast, I can boast. Because my resume is longer than anybody's resume ever of the children of Israel. And Paul made it plain what tribe he from, Mother D of Israel, in 11 verse 1 of the book of Romans. He told them, explaining what tribe he from to his brothers. He's going to tell you what tribe I'm from. 11 verse 1 of Romans. Mother dear of Israel.
Romans.
See, Paul can talk that smack. 11 1, what did he say?
Romans chapter 11 verse 1. I say then, has Yahweh cast away his people? Yahweh forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin.
You see that? So you see how this man let him know, listen, I know. Paul said, I'm on this stage, so if anybody can do some boasting, I can get with you even in boasting. I can put down, hold it down, and get with you. See? So that's what Paul just said. I can get with you, even in boasting. Because nobody's resume is longer than mine on what I did and was raised from the womb. So I can boast with the best of them. That's what Paul said. Come on back there, young lion. Give me some more.
2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 reads. In weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and darkness, in cold and nakedness. 28. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the family of Israel.
You see that? He said, I experience this thing daily. He said, there wasn't no cameo. He said, I got to do this thing daily. And that's why he dropped that 3 verse 7 of Romans on you. He said, with my resume, as long as my resume is, he said, what's wrong with y'all in Romans 3 verse 7? What'd he say?
Book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 7. Verse 7 reads, for if the truth of Yahuwah hath more abound through my life unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner?
You see that man just said? He said, now, I went every place that no other apostle of Yahuwah have went. So why y'all keep on calling me Lion Paul? You got some rest today called him old Lion Paul. Paul said, my resume is longer than anybody in the Bible. He said, but I deal with this thing daily. So you see, Roy, when you understand that, Paul deal with it daily. So he's telling you how you got to roll in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 5. Let's see what he got to say there, Bud Micaiah, 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. So now he gonna call Timothy. Hey, Timothy, you entitled to y'all got something to get me right on? It's by first, y'all get y'all right. So now he over there with Timothy, and now he got Timothy right now, and let's see if he tell Timothy chapter 2, 1 through 5. Now he got Timothy hemmed up. Oh, Paul. Oh, shorty Paul. Let's see if he tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 5. What did he tell Timothy we can read? Come on.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 reads, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Yahuwah the Son. Verse 2, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit you to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3.
Take that stuff. Hold that point. You hear it, John Timothy? He said, look here, what you heard of me? Don't bag and don't give them one inch on telling them on about me. He said, you better tell them about me. Now he told Timothy. You get over there and tell them about me, Timothy. Go ahead, read.
Verse 3. You therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Yahuwah the Son. Verse 4. No man that wars entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5. And if a man also, verse 5. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully.
He said, if you're gonna strive for this mastery, you got to do it according to the Torah instruction. That means you can't back down and give him an inch. Matter of fact, in Galatians chapter 1, we'll make it chapter 2. Let's see Paul. He still got, he got Titus with him now. He going to tell Titus something about him. Let's see if he tell Titus. And Galatians chapter 2, what he say, he looked Titus eyeball to eyeball. And he will talk to Titus and let him see him roar like a lion. And let's see what he says in verse 3 or take it out of verse 5. Galatians chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5. Because remember, the Greeks of the Bible is Northern Kingdom. So now he got Titus all hemmed up. He'll have Timothy red vine as he laid out the rules and regulations. Let's see what he say as he get old Titus all ready to roll. Chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5. What did he say?
The book of Galatians, chapter 2, verses 3 down to 5. Verse 3 reads, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Verse 4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Yahuwah the Son, that they might bring us into bondage. Verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the covenant might continue with you.
Yeah. You see, he told Titus, he said, don't give him an inch. Don't give him, he's over there in Galatians, he said, don't give him an inch. Watch me deal with him. Watch me deal with him. So he took Titus up under his wings and got him straight, probably saying. Just shouted Paul, knew and he had the best resume of all in this book on getting the beat down. So otherwise he took the licking and kept on kicking. That's what he did. He didn't go into no war with me. They jumped on me because I'm a shout man, because I'm a little man. Paul said, I'm ready to deal with this thing. Now, Brother Titus, over there in the book of Titus chapter 1, verse 4, let's see him talk to Titus a little bit more. What did he tell Titus? Now he said, look, I got you on your feet. You see me roaring like a lion. Now I'm going to tell you what you got to do. But let's read a little bit.
The book of Titus chapter 1, verse 4. To Titus, my own son, after the covenant of faith, grace, mercy, and peace from Yahuwah the Father and Yahuwah the Son, our Savior. Verse 5. For this cause that I, you, increase, that you should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed you.
So, what was Titus' position that he was instructed to do that we can read there, Brother Titus? What was his, according to what you just got to read, what is his position by carrying such a powerful name as Titus? What is the position of Titus to do?
Titus' position is to ordain elders. Get the elders in order in every city. There you go.
You said on that? Mother DL, what it says in Proverbs 27, verse 2. Proverbs 27, verse 2, my dear. We're going to be looking for our elder to bring our elder and get a closing statement on tape number 109. What it says in Proverbs 27, verse 2.
Proverbs chapter 27, verse 2. Let other men praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips.
He says, and that what Paul laid in them, told them, now y'all get it. He said, don't let the stranger, don't worry about the stranger talking, let the other man's praise. That's why he dropped that thing to Titus and Timothy. Tell him about old shawty Paul. Tell him how mean I am. Tell them how mean I am and don't give him an inch. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, Mother dear of Israel. So that's what he said. If we come down to Boston, tell them how I look. I get on a step ladder to go nose to nose with you when it comes down from dust, says Yahuwah. That's our hero, Titus and Timothy. That's how they roll. Philippians 2, 12. Philippians 2, 12. What do you read that, my dear Israel?
Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12.
Yes.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 reads, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
So you tell them, bottom line, look here, you got your own salvation. You got to stay in Yahuwah and don't be no murmur complaining backbiter. That's all he's saying. Now, she can find out here to get his closing statement on take number 109 and come back with them young lions and Mother D up Israel. All right. Mr. Tibbs, you're back on the clock for your closing statement on take number 109. Come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel. And thank you for bringing me back into tonight's broadcast. And thus far, you all have been listening to the voices of the true Israelites, the tribe of Yadav, and we're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, not having a class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. But we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of Sabbath is Friday. Their current time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. The bottom part of Sabbath is Saturday. We have a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and the online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members desire to leave. We also have a website address. To use this, open up any search engine. Right on the search line, put tribeyada.com. And after you click on it, just under the big iron, you'll see choices. One will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. In the other device you use, you may see menu, but after clicking this, again, you see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings, and doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, O you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. Give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. You know, I always remind everyone that when you're reading this, to remember that Yahuwah loves that you're forgiven. And donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, live. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also, while there, don't forget to check our calendar. That calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to all of us throughout the year. We also have a live program. This is a feature that's only available during live broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live, and after you click on it, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav, and click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. Also, we're using two email addresses that the listening members can use. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. This is to write your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answered or related topics. The other is yhdhysraeel@gmail.com, also for biblical subjects or related topics. We also have a few numbers you can righteously call with Yahuwah in mind. The first number is our live conference room, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures you may have questions on, and that can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahuwah's ministry. And also, by calling that same number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure you give us the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As I've said many times, the seer is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, and answering many memos, and now even additions of that to Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back. Now, if you've happened to miss the beginning of today's program, not to worry. You can always listen to the entire show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time is repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. Just choose the program you were late logging into, or at that point, you can even pick out any day that you would like to listen. Now, during our normal broadcast broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting our information on Pal Talk. Pal Talk being listed under ethnic group, African American. Just look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yadav. You'll find us is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics we discuss will be Elder Mr. Tibbs or Longwood Seer Israel right in the shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if you'll find that if Broad Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. But remember, when we're given the scriptures to speak by the seer, always be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we are online with hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. So we can continue to listen to those righteous words, we'll pass our program back to our seer as well and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, Hallelujah, Yahuwah. See, we got a lot of work to do. And a lot of work to do. Because we got a profound statement there, Brother Titus, you got a profound statement in the book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14, and pick up 15. Because see what we done did, we done let all types of gadgets get in the way of our reasons. And this is already, and Solomon have already written that somebody in the gene pool of the children of Israel gonna get caught up with all types of gadgets that's contrary to Yahuwah. And it was written. It predicted the coming of Caesar Borgia and all them and painted images and stuff like that. Solomon told you about it. You know, I don't know why your preachers never told you what was written. Pick it up at the 14th chapter of Wisdom of Solomon. Pick it up verse 15. We just read a little bit, and I hope that I can just stay quiet and run it all the way through. Come on.
The Book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14, verse 15 reads, "For a father afflicted but untimely mourning when he had made an image, image of his child's son, take away. Now unto him as a Yahuwah which, as a false Yahuwah which did a dead man and delivered to those that are
hurt." Hold that point. I gotta get in there. Hold that point. He said his father, he was very afflicted behind the death of his son. So he said, "Well, since I'm in power, I got to create an image of my son, and then we can mourn about my son every chance they get." So his father made a graven image of his son for everybody to help mourn with him. So this was going on right now. So here goes the invention of graven images, pictures of his son, and then he showed it. He take his son picture everywhere. Now y'all help cry with me. Come on.
Yes. Verse 15. "Which was then a dead man and delivered to those that were under him ceremonies and sacrifice." Verse 16. "Thus, in process of time, the unyakwadi custom grows strong and was kept as a law. And graven images were worshipped by the commandments of kings." Verse 17.
You see that? Hold that point. Hold that point. So you see what happened? As a process of time, that picture have just, that even before Caesar born Jesus. So that thing was pulled. So now you got white man Jesus. You got Sunday. You got all types of images on the table. But he made plain, Mother D of Israel, in the book of Rebekah, chapter 2:18, pertaining to these images. What he said we can read, Mother D of Israel, pertaining to these images that we can read. What it saying, Rebekah chapter 2, verse 18.
Okay.
So he says, see, this king, he was mourning so much for his son, so he said, I'm just going to have somebody paint my son. And then put his statue everywhere, and everybody fall down and worship my son and help cry with me. So the process of time, that thing came now, and that is all on you right now. Statues of everybody else but the one that got the woolly hair and the long garments and fringes. Habakkuk 2:18 says what?
Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 18. "What profane the graven image that the maker thereof has graven it, the mortal image and a treacherous preacher of lies, that the mark of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols."
So a graven image is a, what kind of lie is it?
A dumb idol.
Yeah, what kind of lie is it? What kind of lie is
of
it?
It's
all it is, a teacher of lies.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's all that is. And they'll put in your books, they'll put everything, they put white man Jesus everywhere, and that's all in your mind. But they ain't nothing but a teacher of lies. You can get a 3-year-old baby right now and say, which one of these is the man up in the sky? And they'll point at that teacher of lies every time. 3 years old. That's how. 3 years old. So you see, if you got any babies up on 3 years old, you better get at them now. Because when they get 3 years old, they can point out the man in there. Or Santa Claus. They can pat out the one, the big man will come down, the big red man that you call white coming down your chimney. And the one that's in the air looks just like that. At 3 years old. So you mess around and get died. Shame on you. Precept that, Mother, to 44, verse 9 through 11 of Isaiah. Give me a precept on that.
Okay. Isaiah chapter 44.
Isaiah 44, 9 through 11. Give me a precept on that.
Isaiah chapter 44, verses 9 through 11. Verse 9. They that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Verse 10, who has formed a false Yahweh or a molten, a graven image that is possible for nothing? Verse 11.
You see that?
Behold. Mm-hmm. Behold, all his followers shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear, and they shall be ashamed together.
You see it? So them graven images you all got accustomed in your head, he said, you're going to be ashamed together. See, all that graven image you got in your head, that white man Jesus, even black man Jesus, all that stuff is out of order.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Yahweh the Son, not no Jesus the Christ anyway. See, you're out of order everywhere with this thing. We ain't using some Bible. Just follow our lead, boys, is over to his right. Go on back there, young Titus, bring some more.
All right, I'm in Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14, verse 17. Who man cannot honor and presence because they dwelt far off? They took the counterfeit of his vengeance from far and made an express image of a king who they honor to the end.
Wait a minute.
By this,
what do you call, hold on, but what do you call that? Making them graven images, that'll say, what kind of word? It's like having a $20 bill that's what?
Counterfeit.
Ain't that something? That's all you looking at is a counterfeit image. That's all you have. It's all in your head. It's in your head, now it's everywhere. But it ain't number counterfeit. Now, I bet you squeal somebody give you a counterfeit $20 bill. I bet you squeal it in. That's what you're looking at, of them graven images. Because he said plainly, Brother Micaiah in Leviticus 23:1, 2, and 3, is right there written in your book, Roman Catholic Church. It's written in Leviticus 23:1, 2, and 3. Brother Micaiah, Israel, what's written that we can read?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 1, 2, and 3. And
We'll make it 26. 26, 1, 2, and 3. There, young lion. What it say in 26, 1, 2, and 3?
The book of Leviticus, chapter 26, verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse 1 reads, you shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down into. For I am Yahweh, your Yahweh. Verse 2, you should keep my Sabbath and reverence my temple. I am Yahweh. Verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my Torah instructions and do them.
Exodus 35:1-2.
Go to the book of Exodus, chapter 35. Picking up at verse 1, verse 2, verse 1 reads, and Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which Yahweh hath commanded that you should do them. Verse 2, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a righteous day, a Sabbath of rest to Yahweh. Whosoever do work therein shall be put to death.
He gathered all children of Israel and told them, Come on back. Come on back, Brother Titus, where you at?
All right, I'm okay. I'm still in habit. Verse 17. Was the Messiah
right,
chapter excellent. 14? Mm-hmm. All right, habit verse 17. And made an express image of the king who they honor to the end, that by their forwardness they might flatter him that was absent, and if they were present. Verse 18. Also the singular judgment of an artificial did help to set forward the ignorant to more superstition. Verse 19.
Wait a minute. The artificial, what that is, that's the painter. That's the painter. That's, what's that painter name? Leonardo da Vinci and what's the other painter name? Leonardo da Vinci and what's the other guy's name? The one that painted all them old wicked images. What's his name?
Picasso,
or something?
Who
was? No, it's Leonardo da Vinci and what his name is? Where is my mind? His name? Back up one verse. Back up again one verse. I know Leonardo da Vinci was one of them, and the other guy's name was Michelangelo. Yeah, Michelangelo and Leonardo da Vinci. Their job was to go all out through Europe and whitewash all the dark brown paintings and whitewash them all and sit Caesar Borgia down, Alexander's son, the Pope, to his son down and draw him, and that's what we read in verse 18. Back up one verse and read again in verse 18.
With the Messiah, chapter 14, verse 18. Also, the singular diligence of the artificial did help to set forward the ignorance to more superstition.
All right, back up one more verse.
Verse 17. Wisdom Psalm chapter 14, verse 17. Who men could not honor and present because they dwell far off. They took the counterfeit of his visions from far and made an express image of a king who they honored to the end, that by their forwardness they might flatter him that was absent, and if he were present.
As he was present, otherwise they you worship the dead man, that's what he said. He said, you worship the dead man as he is present. That's what he said. You worship the dead man with that image in your head of this Michelangelo and whatever I said, Leonardo da Vinci, sit down, the Pope of Rome's son, what's his name again? What's the Pope of Rome's son's name? What's his name, that young lion? What's his name? Caesar Borgia. The Pope, his son, you're going to paint that son, which is a dead man now, and that's in all your establishment, a man that walked the face of the earth and died and back down on the ground, sons of Esau, and that's all in your brain right now. Matter of fact, the majority of our better half, when they pray, they be praying to Esau and his five sons.
Mm-hmm.
That's the image they got in their head. That's what they got in their head. And don't let them have no offspring that's past 2 years old or three. They'll point right at that off the pit. They'll point right at that pair of pace. That 3 years old, this is the one right here. See? 3 years old. So we got a lot of work to do. Read me a little bit more there, Brother Ty. Give me a couple more verses on that.
I'm at verse 19. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 14, verse 19. For he peradventure willing to please one in authority, force all his skill to make the resemblance of the best fashion. Verse 20. And so the multitude of Lord, by the grace of the work, took him now for a false Yahweh, which a little before was, but honored as a man.
So you see,
verse 21.
We can go on and on. See, everything was told exactly what we're going to be doing now, even in Solomon days. So, and we doing, and that's what image we got in our head right now. But they got a problem with us because what we do in Amos 5 verse 10, but Titus, what do we do that they got a problem with us in Amos 5 verse 10?
Are we going to the book of Amos? Book of Amos chapter 5 verse 10. They hear you. That was duped in the gate. They award him that speaketh uprightly.
He said, the one that rebuke you, that correct you, of the people, they don't like that. They don't like the way we correct all that wrong that they don't put on the table. They got a problem with us, but they're going to have a bigger problem the more as we catch it. The more we get this thing right, the more we're going to deliver them up. Brother Titus, give me Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, 1, 2, and the closing statement. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, and bring it down to 1 and 2. Let's find out what he got written and a closing statement. You on the clock, come on.
All right, we're going to the book of Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Get down and back up to 1 and 2. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you, that you should be no priest to me. He that you have forgotten the law of your Yahweh, I will also forget your children. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye children of Israel, for Yahweh had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of Yahweh in the land. Verse 2. By sword and lie. Verse 2. By swearing and lying, and killing and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood.
So you see what the children of Israel did? He said, y'all ain't right. That's all he's saying. Y'all ain't right. All right, Brother Titus, you stood tall again. You roar like a young lion. What's your closing statement? You on the clock. Come on.
All right. Okay, I'm going to go to Wisdom of Solomon. All right. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 16, verse 6. But they were troubled for a small season, that they might be admonished, having a sign of salvation, to put them in remembrance of the Torah structure, first five books of your law. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Excellent. All right there, Brother Titus, that's excellent. You had a lot of bass in your voice, and that's a good thing, too, no doubt about it. Because like I said, old Paul was contemptible. He brought the home run and brought his A game and boasted about it. He said, look here, if anybody boasts, it's going to be me. That's what I'm on. That's what he said. Mother D.F. Israel, what does Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 to 28 say?
Deuteronomy chapter 11.
Israel,
yeah.
28. Yeah, 26 to 28 says what?
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26. Read. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. 27. A blessing if you obey the Torah instructions of Yahweh, your Yahweh, which I command you this day. 28. A curse if you will not obey the Torah instructions of Yahweh, your Yahweh, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after false Yahweh's which you have not known.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the 30th chapter, verse 1, 2. Let's see what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, 1, 2, 19, 20. So he said, I'll sit before you this day. A blessing if you do what I got written, and a curse if you do not do what I. He says, up to you. Deuteronomy 30, 1, 2, 19, and 20, in the closing statement there, Mother Dear of Israel. Deuteronomy 30, 1, 2, 19, and 20.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 and 2, and verse 19 and 20. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, and it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessings and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, has driven thee. Verse 2, and shall return unto Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine mind and with all thy soul. Verses 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against thee, you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and your seed may live. Verse 20. That thou mayest love Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Yahuwah sware unto your father, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Israel, to give them. Okay. Now you say my question.
Hallelujah. So he'll let you know, he got to sit before you. It's up to you what you're going to do. Is you going to do some Yahuwah? But give me your First Thessalonians 5:12 and closing statement. Give me one more verse there, Mother D.F. Israel. Give me that First Thessalonians 5, verse 12. He'll remind you of something, and we need to take heed what he's getting ready to say. First Thessalonians 5, verse 12. What do you say? He'll remind you of something.
First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in Yahuwah and admonish you.
You see that? He said, be careful who you labor with. Make sure you're around Yahuwah men and Yahuwah women. Be careful. Don't be around a snake. A backbiting tail bearer. Close the table there, Mother Day of Israel. Ask them again. Come on.
Isaiah chapter 44, verses 1, 6, and 7. Verse 1. Yet now hear, O Israel, my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Verse 6. Thus says Yahuwah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yahuwah of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. And beside me there is no Yahuwah. Verse 7. And whom as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order before me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua, hallelujah, qua.
That's Mother D.F. Israel, tribe of Yagdaw, with Mother E, Mother Z is on the international side and say, yeah, we all ears here. We all ears, no doubt about it. And that's what it's all about, see, right? You gotta present yourself and show your hand, and thus says Yahuwah. Brother Micaiah, what it tells in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 down to verse 7. What can we read, Brother Micaiah? Oh, young lion, why don't you roar a little bit with 2 Corinthians 10, 3 down to verse 7, you on the clock, come on.
The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 down to 7. Verse 3 reads, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through Yahuwah, for the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Yahuwah, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Yahuwah the Son. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Verse 7. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he is Yahuwah the Son, let him of himself say this again, that as he is Yahuwah the Son, even so are we Yahuwah the Son.
So he's telling you plainly in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 5 through 11. So what is he saying? What is he saying that we can read? What is he saying? 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 11. Make it plain there, young lion. What is he saying that we can read?
The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 11. Verse 5 reads, examine yourselves, whether you be in the covenant. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Yahuwah the Son is in you, except you be reprobate. Verse 6, but I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobate. Verse 7, now I pray to Yahuwah that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobate. Verse 8, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Verse 9, for we are glad when we are weak, and you are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. Verse 10, therefore I write these things before Adam. These being present, I see you sharply, according to the power which Yahuwah has given me to edification and not to destruction. Verse 11. Finally, brothers, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace in Yahuwah of love, and peace shall be with you.
Ain't that so? You hear Michelle Man talking? That's Michelle Man. Look at you. He'll get up on a ladder and hit you right in your neck. That's our hero. That's our hero. He let you know. Look at him. He said, yeah, I'm going to buy me some Yahuwah. He said, if I got the bag of Yahuwah, I'm not worried about this thing. Look, I get on a ladder and hit you in your neck. That's our hero. So, and that's why we tell you in the 44th chapter, Sirach, pick up verse 1. 44:1, let's read a little bit. So that's why you got to understand something. What to understand something. Sirach 44:1, let's read a little bit. Come on.
Okay. The book of Sirach, chapter 44, picking it up at verse 1. Verse 1 reads, let us now praise famous men and our fathers that begat us. Verse 2. Yahuwah has wrought great glory by them through his great power from the beginning. Verse 3. Such as did bear rule in their kingdom, man renowned for their power, giving counsel by their understanding, and declaring prophets. Verse 4, leaders of the people by their counsel, and by their knowledge of learning, meet for the people, wise and eloquent in their instruction. Verse 5, such as found out musical tunes, and recited verses in writing. Verse 6, rich men furnished with ability, living peacefully in their habitation. Verse 7, all these were honored in their generation and were the glory of their time. Verse 8, there be of them that had left a name behind them, that their praises might be reported. Verse 9, and some there be which have no memorial, who are perished as though they had never been, and are become as though they had never been born, and their children after them. Verse 10, but these were merciful men, whose righteousness has not been forgotten. Verse 11, with their seed shall be continually.
Right there. See, you got men that's going to be up front. They got some, but you got the same reward. You got some. You ain't got to always try to bump off the anointed leadership. If you do your part in Yahweh, he going to got you in remembrance. Don't worry about bumping nobody off. Just do your part in Yahweh. That's all he's saying. So in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 down to verse 19, what does it say that we can read? What can we read in Deuteronomy 18, 15 and 19? Tell me out there, young man, what can we read in Deuteronomy 18, 15 down to verse 19? Come on.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verses 15 to 19. Verse 15 reads, Yahweh, your Yahweh, will raise up unto you a seer from the midst of you, of your brother, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. Verse 16. According to all that you desired of Yahweh, your Yahweh, and Horeb, and the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of Yahweh, my Yahweh, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Verse 17. And Yahweh said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. Verse 18, I will raise them up a seer from among their brethren, like unto you, and will put my word in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Verse 19, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my word, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
St. John 14, verse 12. He's talking some good talk. He said, I'm going to raise up somebody that, and let's see, as he was told that, then all of a sudden now, he played out his role, then he made a statement in 14, verse 12 of St. John. Then what did he say? 14, verse 12.
The book of St. John, chapter 14, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father.
Well, he's making it plain in 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse 12, he's making it plain. He said, look here, okay? Okay, if you want to say that, that's Yahweh the Son, fine. But what he say? I'm ready to get up out of here. And he going to take it further than what I've taken it. I wonder who the he is. But look what he's telling you, 2 Chronicles 13, verse 12.
The book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse 12. Book of 2 Chronicles 13, 12. 12 reads, greet one another with a righteous kiss. Oh. Hold on, sir. I'm in the wrong spot.
That's right. Give me 2 Chronicles 13, verse 12. Make it play.
Book of 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 12. 12 reads, and behold, Yahweh himself is with us, for our captain and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight you not against the Yahuwah, Yahuwah of your father, for you shall not prosper.
He said, listen,
that's not kicking against. You said 2 Chronicles 14, 12?
13, 12.
You want
13, 14?
Yeah, 13, 12.
Okay. Yeah.
That was 13,
yeah, 14. Yeah, you read it. So we'll go to Jeremiah 28, verse 9, 15 through 17. So, see, he's telling you, listen, children of Israel, stop kicking against anointed leadership that's in order. He said he's going away, and it will be he. They're going to call the name and speak everything that I have said. Now, you want to call us sooner or later who is that seer that's on the clock as we speak. Sooner or later, it's going to dawn on you who it is. Matter of fact, give me Ezekiel 33:33 and become real back to this right here. Let's see what it says in 33:33. Sooner or later, I don't know where you're going to be at or what's going on, but sooner or later, it's going to hit you. And Ezekiel 33:33, what it say?
The book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 33. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a seer has been among them.
Now give me Jeremiah 28, verse 9, 15 through 17, and we'll back away from there. So he let you know step by step. It's up to you. It's up to you to look at the Bible and take your personal opinions out of it and call it the way you see it. Let's see what it says over in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, 15 through 17, and a closing statement. We catch you all Wednesday night for some more B-O-T-T-Y. Mother dear of Israel, now all them young lions are roaring. Even in Campo got a little roaring in there. Jeremiah 28, verse 9, 15 through 17, bring it.
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 28, verse 9, 15 through 17. Verse 9 reads, the seer which prophesies of peace, when the word of the seer shall come to pass, then shall the seer be known that Yahuwah has truly sent him. Verse 15, then said the seer Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the seer, hear now, Hananiah. Yahuwah have not sent you, but you make it this people to trust in a lie. Verse 16. Therefore, thus says Yahuwah, behold, I will cast you from off the face of the earth. This year you should die, because you have taught rebellion against Yahuwah. Verse 17. So Hananiah, the elder, died the same year in the seventh month.
Yes, you're right. Give me 1 Kings 22, 28 in closing statement. 1 Kings 22, 28 in closing statement. I give me one more shot.
All right.
1 Kings 22, 28 in a closing statement. Excellent. Excellent broadcast, take number 109. Bring it.
1 Kings 22, verse 28 reads, and Micaiah said, if you return at all in peace, Yahuwah hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you.
Ain't that something? He's looking.